So friends, let us begin with our today's study of this great scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, with the usual chant. Vande Vamsidharam Krishnam Smayamanam Mukhambujam Pitambaradharam Neelam Malyachan Radha Chitta Chakurendum Sandarya Sumahodadhin Parat Parataram Devam Brahma Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Puranamunina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitam Ritavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam anusandadhame Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshvini. Dear friends, we are into the concluding verses of this 17th chapter. As we have been seeing, the 17th chapter is very important in understanding our responses, even in the so-called worldly matters or in the spiritual things that we do or the religious actions that we perform, how they are based in our faith, and our faith is also as our constitutional get-up is. Not everybody will have the similar nature of faith. Faith differs from person to person in the sense that our idea about who am I and what the world is different from person to person, and that becomes the basis for our convictions, our actions motivated through that conviction. Like a dog has a constitution and an awareness of being dog and the awareness of the world around, so the dog's actions are prompted accordingly. A human action will also get accordingly inspired depending on what the awareness is. I am a human being. This is the world around me. And this is I see as the purpose of my life. This is what I see is giving me pleasure. This is what I see as giving me pain. And thus, the actions get motivated by that conviction. And therefore we find such tremendous variety in the response of the people to the exactly similar external action or external situation. An external situation may be same, but one person will get irritated and angry. Another person will find it fearsome, and so getting scared, that person will try to run away from it. Another person will stay calm. Another person may get up and try to fight this situation. So many things, million people, million responses to the same external situation could be seen. And what makes the difference? Difference is the constitutions differ a great deal. And so even in the religious actions, constitutions broadly described throughout Bhagavad Gita, and you will see throughout the system of Vedantic thought, according to these three gunas, the three types of material constituents of our being, which are called sattva, rajas, tamas. Sattva tends to bring in more knowledge, more peace, more serenity in general. Rajas brings in more desires, more that desire-oriented activity, more the vigorousness seems to be there. In tamasika person, there is no decision is getting made. There is a problem with being focused. There is problem being, you know, approaching anything because of the laziness in temperament. The person wants to be just ignorant, doesn't have therefore any inclination to do some work, to take up some initiative, and is easily irritated, likes to just quarrel about nothing. So and in general wants to be just lazy. So these three temperaments are there to some extent in every individual. There is the only difference of proportion that makes us get the labels, that a person is called sattvika. If there is preponderance of that element or that particular matter in him or her, a person gets rajasika or tamasika too, according to the preponderance. And then it has been showed how our Lord has shown in the preceding verses how the austerities one performs, the sacrifices one does, or the gifts one gives, all these three are done normally as religious acts, good acts. Now they also have their constitutional place there. The actions of a sattvika person, same actions, will look different, will have different bearing, and will bear different fruits than a person doing it with rajasika temperament or a tamasika temperament. So this has been described. And now the last concluding verses are very important because they give us the input or the proper guidance as to how to transform these actions into the desired way, that is how to give them a turn towards sattvika that will make them really a religious action in the true sense. And so this is what is a positive psychology, friends. that how to bring about the desired change. Understanding things is one aspect, but how to change it, that is another thing. How can we bring a positive change in it? Only understanding the situation well, it is okay, but it doesn't help. If you have only diagnosis of the disease, that this person has flu, well, do you have any remedy? If no, then knowing that it is flu is not going to bring any relief to the person. Only knowing that the person has such and such disease, if you don't have a remedy for it, how is it going to be of help? So, now here is the proper medication, proper solution to bring about a positive change in a person's attitude, in a person's this approach, so that the actions tend to become useful in the spiritual sense. So these verses, they tell what is the solution, and it is said there, verse number 23. Om tatsaditi nirdesho brahmanas trividhasmritah brahmanastena vedascha yajnascha vihita pura tasmad om iti udaritya yajna dana tapakriyaha pravartante vidhanokta satatam brahmavadinam. I chanted two verses, 23 and 24. Let me read the meaning. Om Tat Sat. This is considered to be threefold designation of Brahman. By that were fashioned of old the Brahmanas, the Vedas, and sacrifices. Therefore, the acts of sacrifice, gift, and austerity enjoined by the ordinance on the part of the followers of the Vedas by uttering the word Om are always begun well. There is a very deep meaning in this. In the name that is given, that is considered God, God is designated by God or Brahman. Brahman, this word means that which pervades everything. That which is pervaded everywhere is designated by these three words. Om, Tat, Sat. So, Om means the primordial sound, the word from which everything has evolved. Om is a condensation of all sounds, and we had seen it earlier also, but for the easy reference I am telling it here again, that all our sounds are produced in this vocal machine, starting at the throat and ending in the lips. So first sound that comes from the throat is A, and then the last one emanates as M. So A and M, and the process in between, all the modulation that goes on is designated by the sound oo. So a, oo, ma together becomes ma. Om, 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 om. So gradually the middle one becomes a little different and it becomes Om. So Om is therefore the syllable, the sound of all sounds. And this sound is therefore considered the name of God, because it comprises in it all sounds and therefore all names and therefore all things. So everything is contained in Om. In one of the Upanishads, considered as a very profound Upanishad, though the shortest of the major Upanishads, it is Mandukya Upanishad. There it is therefore described that Om is everything. Everything is contained in Om, and that is why that is the appropriate name of God. So Om, Tat. Tat means that. Everything is that. Something that is, you have no idea what it is, that is a pronoun. A noun is a particular thing, but pronoun gets applied to everything. So that pronoun, that, is, it indicates everything, whatever is can be designated by that. So that is another name of Brahman, indicating its the consciousness aspect, and then Sat, the existence aspect, that it is. Sat means isness. Everything has thatness and isness. When that is, that is, that isness is therefore also the quality or a designation of the divine. God is. God is. God is everything. So everything is manifestation of God. So this idea is compressed in this Om Tat Sat. So therefore, while reciting any mantra or doing any religious act, it is prescribed that you begin it with Om and have the end as Om Tat Sat. So that is how all actions are to be performed, remembering God, associating in, with God. It is specially said there in this 24th verse. Therefore, the acts of sacrifice, gift and austerity enjoined by this ordinance or scriptures on the part of the followers are to be done by uttering Om. Begin them by uttering Om. Are therefore always begun well. And the idea is, any act you begin, whatever your initial temperament is, begin it with remembrance of God. Think of the word Om. The name is important because name brings the remembrance. Think of any person you love and just think of the name. You see that the image of that person also flashes automatically. So, if you think of God's name, Om, that flashes, you see. So, therefore, think of God in the beginning of every action. So what happens thereby? You are connecting God to everything that you are doing. Thus, it is begun well. Your temperament now is there, but there is the way to transform it. There is a way to make it sattvika by associating it with God. So associate it with God by using the word Om. So, thus now when you begin things with Om, then you remember God. And when you remember God, see, the divine qualities automatically tend to make an upsurge in your mind, in your awareness. And thus those actions will become or tend to become more and more sattvika. This is how the personality will start getting transformed. The rajasika and tamasika part will get more and more subdued. Sattvika part will remain, will become more and more pronounced. And friends, I have seen this happening. I have seen many people's lives getting transformed like that by remembrance of God with and associating God with every action. When they do that, there is a transformation, and therefore it is advisable, it is advised that whatever action you are performing, especially those actions which you want to perform as a sacrifice or a religious action, when you want to do that action, think of God, utter the name of God. Now, and that will make it a good beginning. And spiritually speaking, it will be a good beginning. Thus, and then, tad, how is the word tad is to be used? Tad, taditi anabhisandhaya phalam yajna tapakriyah. Tad iti anabhisandhaya phalam yajna tapakriyah. Yajna dana tapakriya should be there. Dana kriyascha vivitha. No, dana kriya has come in the last, next verse. Dana kriyascha vivitha kriyante moksha kamsi bhihi. That tad iti anabhisandhaya phalam yajna tapakriya. That uttering tat, the various acts of sacrifice, austerity and charity are performed by the seekers of liberation without aiming at their fruit. That is how that action will now start becoming more and more sattvika. A spiritual aspirant should do the actions in this manner, and that will more and more subdue the unwanted tendencies in us and make the sattvika tendency more and more pronounced. Uttering this word tat, the various acts of sacrifice, austerity and charity are performed by seekers of liberation. Those who seek liberation thus utter this word tat. Means for God. I am not, that means connecting it to God in the sense of offering, that this is offered to God. And by offering to God, you do not seek any results for yourself. That is how the actions then do not tend to bind you. In Bhagavad Gita, right from the second chapter, we have been witnessing this, that how the actions are a bondage. How actions generate bondage for people. Every action gives rise to corresponding result, which becomes a bondage. You do something, then the result of that grabs you. Then that makes you do another action. And then again the same cycle goes on. And thus you see that you are under tremendous bondage. You perform one action thinking that I do it finished. No, it breeds its result. And that result is binding on you. So now how to escape this? Every action has these problems. If you don't do an action, that is a bigger problem. Because sometimes that thought comes, so let me shun all actions. It is not possible. It is not an option at all. You will have to perform actions all the time. All the time, as Lord Krishna has pointed it out, that nahi kaschit kshanam api jato tishthati akarmakrit. Not even a moment goes without your performing some action or the other. Maybe very insignificant, like you are just sitting. Well, still you are performing the action of sitting, and you are breathing in, breathing out, you are performing action there too. Maybe insignificant, but it is impossible for you to be without activity. You will take up the activity, and so you will be bound by the results of those. Now, how to get rid of that? That is what is called the great science of Karma Yoga. And this science teaches us that if we learn to offer these actions to God, then they do not cause any bondage. That is the only way to make us pure in our while we are doing our actions. That well, we do the actions, and then while doing the actions, it may not be always easy to think of God, but when it is performed, offer it to God, offer the results of all actions to God, and that will purify the actions. The other thing associated with it is that think that God is performing those actions. After all, who am I? I am just an instrument. I am just an instrument. So God has picked up that instrument and is getting the action done. Like Joan has picked up the pen and she is writing something. Now the pen doesn't get any credit for that. If what she wrote is nice, the pen doesn't get credit. If she has written something that is not so good, still the pen doesn't get blamed for that. So whosoever is doing the action, that person actually is that I of that person gets the credit or the blame for it. But if you become an instrument in the hands of God, now the scene is completely transformed, you see. Now the scene is that you therefore are not bound by the actions. Just as the pen is not bound by those actions, it was just an instrument. You do not blame the instrument as such. The person who did it, that is the problem. So here learn to become the instrument in the hands of God, Tat. So that Tat signifies that. And when you say that, or when you feel that awareness, Om Tat Sat. So that is the God alone is real, that God is the doer, and thus your actions now have become an instrument of liberation for you. It becomes karma yoga just by change of attitude, not by change of action, but just the change of attitude. What action you are performing is completely immaterial here. You will be performing actions according to your needs, according to whatever job is at your hand. Charlie will be performing one job, Christopher will be performing another job, but they don't need to change their jobs. But in their respective jobs, in whatever work they are doing, both can bring in this attitude that it is God who is doing. I am just an instrument. When God drops that instrument, do we have really any capacity to do anything? We don't have. We are full of ego. I can do this and I can do that. A little problem in the brain, and then one or two screws there become loose, then you cannot do anything. Your limbs become powerless. It is who are you? It is God who gets the work done using these instruments. So it is for us to be aware of this reality, and thus we become free. And so this is the important principle, Tom Tat. And then the third word is become, it's the word Sat is being explained here. Sadbhave sadhubhave cha saditye tatra yujyate prashaste karmani tatha satshabdah partha yujyate. Sat is used to denote existence and goodness. So also, O Partha, the word Sat is used for any auspicious act. It denotes goodness and existence, both. So, it is therefore used to show that commentary of Shankara illustrates this point, that if something is not there, it comes into existence. Like a chair is not there, but then there is the raw material there. It is brought together, shaped properly, and then it starts looking like a chair. So we say the chair has come into existence. The baby is born, became Sat from what it was not. Now it has started its special presence. So it is Sat, it exists. So, and also Sadhu Bhava. A person was not good, but then got transformed. So there is that association of transformation to this word, Sadbhava, Sadhu Bhava. That a person is Sat means good. That also is an important connotation associated with it. Like we say Sadbhava means a good feeling, a good thing. So it is the word Sat is used to indicate goodness. From that the word what is Sant means what is in the word saint is actually a derivation from the Sanskrit word Sant, which means a person who has realized the truth. So Sant means the great person, a saintly person. So that is also the connotation associated with this word Sat. So associate this word into your actions. So therefore When you put it, Sat is used to denote existence and goodness. So use that as existence and goodness. So when we say Om Tat Sat, that action now becomes a good action. It becomes a truthful thing because it comes into existence. So it is truthful, it is good. So this Om Tat Sat, when we use this Om Tat Sat, then it is good as well as it is auspicious. It is also, every action then gets connected with divine, and thus Om Tat Sat transforms our actions. Initial temperaments may vary, but then we, as it were, turn the direction of those actions. The spiritual actions, when performed with this kind of attitude, and then that attitude gets concretely put there by using these words, Om Tat Sat. Therefore, in the Song of Sannyasin, Swami Vivekananda uses these words. Therefore, O Sannyasi bold, say Om Tat Sat Om. That Om Tat Sat Om, that is the chant of the monk, that yes, everything is pervaded by the divine. Thus you become free, your karma is over, your bondage is over by this use of these words and the awareness associated with it. Now a very beautiful philosophy is told here about everything becoming real for us. Everything becoming real. Our awareness makes things real. Our real world, what we call as real world, depends on our awareness. There is a story of a man who went to a psychiatrist with the complaint that, well, I think that the problem is I always think that I am a dog. And the psychiatrist asked, since when do you think like that? And that man replied, ever since I was a pup. So that is how that man's world is like that. That is the reality, you see. That it is that is what is real for that man. Now, in fact, he didn't understand the doctor's question, the psychiatrist's question. Since when? What do you mean? Ever since I was a pup, I was thinking that I am a dog. So, now that is a concrete understanding or vision for that person. So, similarly, whatever is real for us is dependent on what kind of person we are. So now that Sat, the actions they that every person does out of this understanding, they also therefore become in a sense giving the results in that form, and so therefore they also are Sat. Yajne tapasidane cha sthiti saditi chochate karma chaiva tadarthiyam saditya vidhiyate. Steadiness in sacrifice, austerity and gift is also called Sat, as also work even done indirectly for the sake of Lord is verily called Sat, because that work then gives the desired result the desired result means upliftment in spiritual sense, the liberation, all that comes to a person because of this attitude, sat. So, this sat means truth. See, every work that we do brings a result. A true result means that result exists. As the action exists, so the result exists. And therefore, the result of the action is also real. This is a rather profound point, not very easy to explain. But look at this. Let me try to give some illustrations, some examples that an architect is constructing a building, has say everything on a map, on paper. Now, for an ordinary person it is a piece of paper, for an architect it is a building, it is done, just you have to pour in the right material, in the right manner, in the right way, and as the things are getting done, building is done, it is real. Whatever is on the paper is real, the actions performed make it real on a different plane, that's all. But it is just changing the plane for that. By putting in the action, what has happened, what was in the thought world, by putting an action, got on a paper world. Then the architect may prefer to make a model, to make it look for the people and to get an idea of how it is. Maybe the model of made of thermocol and smaller size, of course, not the size that is going to be built. So it is transformed on the thermocol level. Then that is again then transformed with the brick, mortar, steel and all that into that level. Everywhere what is happening, the actions are getting performed. The actions, they are becoming real because they are according to this truth, basic truth. If there is a mistake there, then it will get changed. There will have to be the distinctions, differences between what is on the paper and what is in the brick and mortar. So, our actions, it has planes, you know. Every action, if we observe, many times we don't observe, but look, they begin in a deep awareness. Then that deep awareness gets transformed onto a thought world. Then it comes out into action, physical action or so forth, verbal or physical action. At all these levels, it is transformed, but what is being expressed is that sat, the truth gets expressed. Because it is true, that truth is manifested at different levels. So action is true because it bears the result. You are performing an action with already you see an end in mind, and that gets put into it, and thus it becomes real. That reality is the nature of it. That word sat, the actions also get therefore called sat, because you cannot remove them. Once there is the action, there is the result of it. It is sat, it is true. And so the result will be there. As is the action, as is the attitude associated with that action, all that is real, it will come out in the results. So even though we may not, if we have not done an action with the right motive, we can hide it from the world. World will not know, world doesn't always get to see what our mind is. Even we also don't get to see most of the times. But that attitude or that emotion that is involved in the action, that feeling is involved in the action and it is real, so it will get expressed in that action. It is sat, it is true, and you will get the result not only of the outer view of the action but also the inner emotions which are put in that. And therefore it is good, it is important that we feel the right emotions in every action that we are performing. This is a rather very deep point, but it is very important here to understand that why it is important to associate all these holy thoughts in our actions, because thus those actions get permeated with the divine, and thus they bear the results which will be liberating for us. So therefore the next and the last verse of this chapter, Ashraddhaya hutam daptam tapastaptam kritam chayat asadityuchyate partha nachatat pretyano iha. Offering oblations, making gifts, austerities practiced, or anything else done without faith are called asat, O partha. They fructify neither hereafter nor here. That is, when we have no faith but are doing the action, now that component is absent. Now one component in the truth of that action is missing, and so it doesn't bear any result. You are offering flower to God, but there is no faith in it, there is no association that I am making an offering. It is done without that emotional or the feeling association of it, no Shraddha, no faith, and thus it becomes a worship done without faith, and thus it bears no result, and therefore it is called asat. It does not bring the results that the scriptures otherwise prescribe for that, that you have performed this sacrifice and thus you should be getting this result. But if it is done without faith, then one component in that action is missing. It will not bear the desired result. Like a particular recipe requires an ingredient, and in that you didn't put that ingredient. Okay, for example, put yeast for baking, you put the yeast and you didn't put it. Well, it may not be noticed in the beginning. The dough will remain this look the same, but when the baking is happening, you will see it's not rising, it is not getting properly baked. The result will show that there was some element missing in it. So when we are doing certain things without the proper attitude or proper faith, that element is missing from the action, and thus the result is not what is otherwise to be expected, and so it is called asat, it is useless, it is meaningless. So, therefore, the simple thing, Om Tat Sat, by using this Om Tat Sat and trying to bring those feelings, all actions then will become spiritually beneficial. It will transform our mentality, our constitution, make us more and more sattvika, and thus this will pave the way for illumination in our life. So this is how this chapter comes to an end. Arjuna had asked the question in the beginning that if we do not know the scriptures but just perform things on just faith, will that not be enough? Because in the end of the 16th chapter, Lord had said that to make your actions good and saintly, don't do it whimsically, consult scriptures and do accordingly. And so Arjuna stepped in with this question that suppose I don't know scriptures, if I do just faithfully, will it not be good enough? The answer was, then this 17th chapter, the faith itself is of three types. So you have faith, doesn't mean that it will be really conducive to spiritual illumination. That faith also undergoes a transformation through proper disciplines, proper spiritual disciplines, and that is described in the 17th chapter. The 18th chapter again begins with the question of Arjuna. 18th chapter is many times called a towering chapter, or a chapter like a dome on the building, that it is everything that the beauty of the whole structure as it were is presented in that dome. Dome is the thing that people will see, that building's dome. From a far distance what you will see is that dome. So this 18th chapter is a condensation of all the different topics that came in Bhagavad Gita, and also the many beautiful additional ideas which were not discussed earlier, they will come to fore here. And also how to read Bhagavad Gita, who is really the proper recipient for it, and so forth. We shall try to take up this. It's a fairly big chapter, the longest chapter in Bhagavad Gita. So it will take some time before we finish. Just to warn you, because you may think that now it is last chapter, we have finished book. No, there is still some time. 18th chapter will take, well, I don't know, but maybe a few months. So, any questions? Yes, John. John rarely asks questions. What happened to you today? Okay, come on. Yeah, it is. It will be described it in the 17th chapter. Lord described it that by responses, study the responses, that how every action when you do, what type of responses come from you about that, and then that is that. That is the characteristic of our constitution. But that needs to be transformed to make it more and more sattvika by using this idea of dedication to God. So that will transform those to become more and more sattvika. Yes, yes, and that is really an exercise in the sense that we usually examine other people more than ourselves. That person is not ourselves. Examining ourselves and forming conclusions about them, whether right or wrong, are not very helpful for us, because we are not able to then change ourselves. And so it is important that we examine ourselves, our attitudes, our actions in the light of these verses and give them a more positive action, positive direction, sorry. Yes, John?
Yeah, when you mentioned about, you know, a person with faith, check scripture, I don't know, maybe think of Martin Luther King.
So his faith got the big role in it to get the result. Yeah, you are right there.
It wasn't just faith in Christianity,
but he studied all kinds of law. It is the faith in goodness, the faith in God. Let us put it like that. Correct. Yes, Abhijit.
Well, there are some professions which are inherently considered as noble, like be a teacher or a social worker or a nurse. They are inherently for the benefit of others and, you know, not for yourself. And then there are professions which doesn't involve anybody else. You know, I might be just pushing paper or sitting in front of a computer. So you were saying it doesn't matter what profession you have?
That's a good question. Many ask this question, that there are some professions which seem to be inherently having more capability of doing good to others. Obviously there are some professions where there is at least on the surface more possibility to do good to others. But that means more responsibility too. It is, if a person is, say, a nurse or a teacher, that nurse or the teacher has to have those pure attitudes all the time, which is not easy, because that nurse or teacher comes in contact with so many people, there is the potential transmission of the evil thoughts also there, and that nurse or teacher has to guard a lot against that. It may not be manifesting in the obvious level. If a teacher in the minds are veiling up some bad thoughts and expletives associated with that and all that, but yet is not uttering them, or singing some this religious song, but then unconsciously those also get transmitted. Like a person may have a disease, the person doesn't want to transmit it to others, but just in spite of that person's wanting or not wanting, they may get transmitted. So similarly, there may be some professions which are apparently very good, but they run a high risk also. Also, there are many other things which are you may feel that what good am I doing to others? I am just pushing my papers or sitting in front of computer. There also, if you are thinking good thoughts, they will just reach others, whether you want them or whether you don't want them. Whether the whatever action has come to you, like in the big assembly line, and Karl Marx has spoken a lot about that in his chapter on alienation of the worker from the work, that the worker in a big assembly line, all that he is supposed to do from morning till evening, whatever time he is working, to just screw in a one particular screw in the whole mechanism. Assembly is continuously moving forward. He has to just tighten one screw there, put one screw and push it ahead. He doesn't know what is the beginning of it, what is the next thing of it. And so it becomes a very boring job without any understanding. So it is they get alienated from the work. I am not talking about that philosophy right now. It's an interesting concept, but even if that kind of boring, meaningless and work that you don't feel has any really utility to others, just putting one screw all the time in, that is, but if you are doing it as a devotional practice, then you get that result. It is, you still will be very happy doing it. So that is how you see the Vedantic approach to it is like that. That of course, a person may feel happy doing one's job, may not feel very happy doing one's job on a mundane level. But when you transform that action as a spiritual action, then it becomes completely different.
Well, you're a butcher.
Yes. You will be doing that butcher's job faithfully. In fact, in Mahabharata there is a story. Yeah, you will be doing that job. It doesn't become a good, bad job then. You wanted to ask something?
The Jewish faith, you know, it's a religious tradition. I'm the rabbi tradition, does the butchering.
There is the prayer and all that. It gets done. That is how one of our Swamis, it is a nice story to tell. He was appointed as the supervisor of one of our hostels or dormitory, school dormitory, about a few hundred children staying there. And he had to buy meat for their lunch or whatever, cup of meat. So he used to go to the that butcher's shop and select which of those goats they are good, and would get them. He himself was a complete vegetarian, but when he was given that job, he was doing it very faithfully, and that makes it a spiritual work. He would supervise that whether they are being properly cut, the butcher is not cheating by giving some stale piece or something. All that was being verified by that Swami, who actually wouldn't have chosen this work. And this thing will come in the 18th chapter, you know, that how a work is not to be chosen by a spiritual aspirant. Whatever work comes to you, well, do it as a matter of worship. So that it was being done in that spirit. So that is the way, you know. So, yes,
during your talk, I recently in my reading came across this Russian proverb that was, words are deeds.
Words are?
Words are deeds.
Deeds, yeah, exactly. Words are deeds. Exactly. Words are deeds. Yes. Words are very powerful. You are very correct. Words are weapons. We say therefore in our language too, words are weapons. Use carefully. They could be very sharp and hurting. The wound by an ordinary knife gets healed quickly. But wound by some harsh words take years or ages to heal. Therefore it is important that the words are given their due. Words are very important. You are right. Thank you. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarayi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinasrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantra Tasya Namaniyane Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.